Hello, fellow geeks. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Wealth of Geeks Movies, Money, and More podcast.
Welcome to the Wealth of Geeks Movies, Money, and More podcast, where entertainment and finance collide. Join us as we bring together people each episode to debate the hottest topics in the world of entertainment and finance.
So, whether you're a fan of Star Wars or side hustles, Marvel or money, this podcast has got you covered. And now, here's your host.
I am your host, Sarah Gilliland, and I am really excited today because we are talking about a travel topic. And for those of you who don't know, I am also a travel editor at Wealth of Geeks. So travel is my passion. So anytime we can talk about it, write about it, watch a video, make a video about it, I'm all in. But before we get to our travel topic at hand today, I want to introduce my guest. And for good reason, we have three guests with us today. We have Margarita Ibbett. Margarita Ibbett is from downshiftingpro.com, but she also writes for Wealth of Geeks. Her travel blog is focused on travel for the 50-plus crowd, and she offers practical tips and vacation hacks to make your travel smoother, more affordable, and more rewarding. Margarita, welcome to the podcast.
Great to be back. Love to be here.
Yes, so we're glad to have you. Everyone here is a repeat guest, so you guys are going to get some good information out of these guests today. And my next guest is also familiar. Kyle Logan has been on here quite a bit, but today we're talking a travel topic. Kyle, have you ever talked about travel before?
I have not, and I've only ever written one travel piece for Wealth of Geeks. It wasn't about our topic today, so this is new territory for me.
Yes, well, we are going to, introduce you into the club, so to speak. All the rest of us are travel writers. But just to remind everybody about Kyle, Kyle is a film and television critic first and a general pop culture writer who has written for Wealth of Geeks, Alternative Press, Cultured Vultures, Film Stories, Screen Anarchy, and more. Kyle is particularly interested in horror and animation, which we've had a lot of horror discussions lately on the podcast, as well as genre films written and directed by queer people and women. Kyle has an MA in philosophy from Boston College and is a member of the Chicago Indie Critics, along with writing and organizing a queer film challenge on Letterboxd. So excited to have you back, Kyle.
Thank you. I'm very excited to talk about how much I love planes.
It's going to be kind of an interesting topic for you because you've been doing really well with all of the horror topics we've had lately. We've talked movies, we've talked directors. It's been great fun, but this is going to be new. So I'm excited to see what you bring to the conversation.
Me too.
All right. And last but certainly not least, we are having Carrie Blutt join us again. If you guys remember, she was with Margarita on our all-inclusive versus not all-inclusive. Not all-inclusive. I was going to say exclusive, but that doesn't make sense.
No.
Check out that episode a few episodes back if you want to know about Carrie, but she is an awesome travel writer, and I want to let you guys know about her. She is nationally syndicated and is the founder of OurWovenJourney.com, which is a site focused on inspiring others to create memory-making adventures with their loved ones. Carrie is passionate about encouraging others to step outside of their comfort zone and live the life they dream of. She is the mom of 6 kids. 2 thumbs way up for that one.
Thank you.
And she lives with her family in the Pacific Northwest. So thank you, Carrie, for being back and stepping out of your comfort zone to be on the podcast again.
You bet. Glad to be here.
We're going to pull you out of your shell today. You're not going to be able to be quiet because you have to support your chosen mode of transportation. And as Kyle alluded to, today we are talking about different ways that we can get from point A to point B when it comes to traveling for work, pleasure, whatever you want it to be. So, Margarita, I'm going to let you kick things off. What form of transportation are you supporting today?
In the train, planes, and automobile debate, I am all about the automobile. I'm all about getting into a car and doing a road trip and making that the best way to travel. I'm really excited about it, actually, because I really kind of started to do more. I usually am in a plane, and sometimes I'm in a train, but usually I'm flying. But this summer has really piqued my curiosity about doing more road trips. So I'm actually doing some road trips, and I'm really looking forward to it. And I think it's just the best way to travel.
All right. And as Kyle alluded to, He is talking about planes. So, Kyle, tell us about your love of planes.
Sure. I mean, for me, I think the love mostly comes from having a place to not do anything else for a while. You know, you unless you're paying for it, are not going to be on Wi-Fi while you're on a plane. You're not going to be reachable in any way. And so you have, you know, 2 to 16 hours, depending on where you're going, to read that book you've been meaning to read, catch up on, you know, those 2 or 3 movies you've been meaning to watch. And as someone who loves to read but really struggles to find time for it, I really, really love the experience of being on a plane, being able to just hone in on that. And that's the thing that I'm going to be doing for the next, who knows how long that flight may be. Yeah, there are a lot of other things I love about planes, but we'll get to those later. And I think the main thing is it gives me time to focus on reading, which I don't get to do enough of in my regular life because there's just too much going on.
That is a valuable and valiant start to your support for your cause. So, Carrie, that leaves you with trains. And I am very eager to hear about your experience with trains because as someone who lives in the southeastern U.S., trains are not really a thing where I am.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm excited to talk about them, too. And it's not that I don't love a good car trip. I appreciate how fast you can get there on a plane. But trains are just, there's something special about them, whether it's a nostalgic trip, which I have some of that to talk about, or just the speed of a bullet train. And, you know, there's some really great pros that I know we'll get into. And you do not have to worry about pulling me out of my shell. I'm going to jump in. Don't worry. No problem. So
I'm excited.
I'm here to talk about the trains.
Yeah. Okay. Well, since you said I'm not going to need to pull you out of your shell, I do want to start with you first because you brought up the bullet train. And I'm glad you did right off the bat because I feel like that is probably the pinnacle of train travel. It is something that happens. Is it any other place besides Japan?
Oh, no. Did Sarah freeze?
Sarah freeze,
nope.
Yeah.
I'm good. Can you hear me?
Okay. I think you froze for a little bit, but yeah. You're back now.
Oh, sorry about that.
Yeah, for sure. You stopped there for a sec. Yeah.
Let me start that over again. So, Carrie, I'm glad you brought up trains because you mentioned bullet train, and I was curious to know, are there any other bullet trains besides the one in Japan? That's the one I know the most.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I've ridden a couple of them. Beijing. You can travel out of Beijing to various provinces in China, and that's a fantastic way to get to see the countryside, you know, that it's just a different angle than you see from the sky, you know, when you're looking down. But yes, there's that one. And then I did the bullet train from Paris to London. And
So there is one in Europe. I didn't know that.
Yeah. What does it take? Maybe 2 to 3 hours maybe to get from Paris to London. And it's just, there is something so peaceful and relaxing about just sitting in that bullet train and just watching the French countryside go by. You know, it's not an area that you would have driven through on a road trip. It looks so different from ground level than it does when you're flying over it. And, you know, when you fly, it's obviously faster. But those bullet trains are fast. And it's just a really unique, fun way to do it. And it's, you know, I should have looked back into it. It's been a couple of years. It was pre-COVID before we did like the year right before when we did the Paris to London bullet train, but it was cheaper than flying too. So we saved money there as well. So it was just a fun experience. You save that the time of having to get to the airport earlier. You do still have to, you know, there is still stuff that you have to do if you're crossing international borders, but it's not the same as at an airport. So you save some time, you save the hassle. It's just a relaxing, fun way to do it, really. I really like the bullet train.
So I think we have to talk a little bit about the fact that, especially in America, Margarita, I'll let you chime in about Canada in a minute. But in America, the train is not, at least in my opinion, cross-country travel, the train is not really something that people are clamoring to do. You know, maybe within a city, you've got the, you know, subway, I guess, if you want to consider that one of a train option. You have some above ground trains. You have, you know, ones that can, like, I know Texas, I'm sure there's a few more states that have them, but I know Texas has ones that will take you across the state because it's, you know, a giant state, but They're just not good in America. Anybody have a guess as to why that is? I'm curious.
We're just not set up for that infrastructure. Yeah.
Yeah. I think of the infrastructure too. And I think part of it too is there's no way around it is, you know, the oil companies they're more vested in having people drive cars than to get into trains. I think they're just starting to develop now sort of quick trains between New York City and Washington, D.C., as far as I know. But for the most part, you know, I've often taken a train between Port Huron, which is about an hour away from London, Ontario. So as you know, I'm the Canadian in the group. And that train ride is 9 hours. But the good thing about it is super cheap. Like, I think I've gone one way for $37 US. Like,
wow.
There's no way that, I don't know how Amtrak does it, but I've also taken a train from Albany to Burlington, Ontario. So you just cross the border. My husband picked me up there, and that was about an hour and a half from my house. Once again, another like 10 hours, but it cost me a whopping like $108. So I really wish that was a thing that would be developed both in Canada and the United States, because now in Europe, what they're doing is they're regulating, like Spain specifically, that I know of. So anything that's less than a 2 or 3 hour, like a 2 hour drive or a 3 hour drive, you have to take the train. You can't fly, right? They're taking away those flights. So, you know, that's why you have to get into a car, because there you go. See,
segueing into
your something else aside. But you know what? I think that's one of the reasons that I do like the idea of, you know, a train ride to Chicago. It's great. It's relaxing. I'd much rather fly, but you can't stop. Like, it's a milk run of a train ride. And it's great to see, you know, Michigan and Indiana and eventually Illinois. But the problem is you stop and then you go and you stop and you go and you don't. Whereas with a car, you know, that's for me, is it gives you the opportunity to set that schedule that you want. It lets you pick the routes that you want. So when I have been in Europe, I like to rent a car because it's taken me to places I would not have gone normally, right? So if I've gotten lost, you know, I wanted to go one place.
Now, did you get lost on purpose?
I did a roundabout, you know, like a roundabout in Spain, and I found myself nowhere near where I wanted to be, but it was a coastal town and we had a wonderful time. It ended up being like a fortress town. And so it was absolutely beautiful, but it was a complete fluke because I just didn't get off the correct rung of a, you know, one of those roundabouts. So that's one of the things I really enjoy about traveling in a car. What I do like is, you know, sometimes to get there quicker or in a train. Just Kyla, I'm like you. I do things when I'm not, you know, when I'm not driving, when I'm on that train to Chicago, I write. I think we can all say for all of ours that you do have the ability to like listen to podcasts. That's what I catch up on podcasts, on audiobooks, on things like that, because that's a long trip between, you know, between here and Wisconsin was, you know, it's an 11-hour trip, 12-hour trip, right? So
yikes.
Yeah, it sounds okay. Like, it's 11 hours. Like, you know, what is that?
What is time?
But as you all know, when you're traveling in the summer, part of it is construction, right? It's prime construction time. So that can be super, super frustrating sometimes. And so, you know, for sure. And having somebody else do the driving is so much better. But, you know.
So you brought up, you know, getting from point A to point B quickly and being able to do other things. So I want to let Kyle give a chance to talk about why plane travel is the best form. Because honestly, plane travel the last couple of years has not gotten a great rap. There's been a lot of things going on in the airline industry that have made people question whether or not it's a great form of travel.
Yeah, I mean, I will admit planes, you know, are your most, this probably isn't a word, but sardine-esque travel method where, you know, you're
I'll
really
take it, I'll take it.
In there with people in a way that, you know, in a car, it's just you, your friends or your family who you're traveling with. And in the few train, you know, longer train experiences I've had, you get a little more room to spread out than you do on a plane. So I'll acknowledge that as a bit of a downside. But I think, you know, Margarita and Carrie have both talked about the affordability. And I think something that we don't always think about with planes is, you know, time is money, money is time. And that level of it takes, you know, 10 hours to travel somewhere via train, or it takes, you know, a full 12 to get somewhere with a car. It might be more expensive to pay for, you know, the flight versus the train trip. But for me, as someone who doesn't, you know, get to take a 2-week vacation every year, I really value being able to get where I'm going more quickly so that I can spend time there. If I'm doing a road trip, that's great. But then the driving is my entire vacation, which can be enjoyable. I've done that before and really loved that. But if I'm, you know, visiting with someone, or if it's a location that I, you know, have never been to and really want to make the most of my time there, if I only have 4 days to spend, I don't want to spend two of those 4 days on a train or in a car. I think that's a really important thing for me for flying, even if I am spending, you know, maybe up to $200 more on the plane versus the train, I get to make the most of that time at my destination.
Can I interject?
Those are all valid points.
Yeah, absolutely. And I hear you on that. Time is money. I can think of an instance when you might not think of it this way, but it can actually save you money and time. And I'm thinking of a train ride that my husband and I took from Moscow to Kazan, Russia. And we were going to have to stay overnight because whatever situation, I don't remember what the flights, they weren't going to work out right. So rather than book a hotel, which in Moscow at the time, quite expensive, we took an overnight train and it achieved the same purpose. We got there in the morning. I will never forget that train ride. It was so nostalgic. The train platform was just, it was incredible there in Moscow. And just watching, you know, we had a little sleeper cabin and the big picture window. It was an old train, but it was just so, so neat getting to just watch the countryside and the country people like walking right along the train track to their, wherever they were going in the morning, you know, in the snow. And it was beautiful, but we also saved that hotel cost that we would have had that night. And we still ended up in Kazan in the next morning. So there are times when you're going to get there the same time in the morning, you know, like you would have maybe flown the night before and then had to get a hotel room and then be ready to go in the morning. We just slept on the train overnight in a cabin and we're ready to go in the morning. So there are times when it's justifiable.
Yeah, that absolutely makes sense.
You could drive and have a camper van, and then you have like transportation and hotel all together. Right? I thought that one through also because I've slept on a train and not when I didn't have a sleeper, like I just had a regular seat and kind of went overnight, and that is just
like sleeping in an airport.
Brutal. It is brutal. But once again, you know, like I was a student. So yeah, absolutely, 100%. I was not paying for a hotel, right?
Yeah.
It was okay to do that. But if I could just convince my husband to get one of those really cool camper vans, I'm sure you've seen them like on TikTok or Instagram. And I keep showing them,
good luck.
Sleep, and it's got like a fridge, and you open it up and see the beach. And he's like, Margarita, no.
That's funny. Well, your husband sounds like my kind of person because I like the idea of being outdoorsy, but I also like a hotel bed.
Same. So, me too.
You're a glampy girl. You are a glamper.
I'm not even a glamping girl.
No, Kyle. No,
yeah,
glamping.
Same. No glamping for me. No.
That's the one thing that I won't do is camping. I'm not a camper. I'm not going to write about camping. I'm not glamping.
Yeah. I've done it enough.
You guys are all Americans. I thought you all went to national parks.
Yeah,
and went
true.
Camping. Like I
no.
thought that was
yes.
No.
I have. So the biggest, you know, car travel thing I ever did was my friends and I, after we all graduated college, did a, you know, West Coast to East Coast road trip. And a lot of the places that we slept were national parks. And after doing that, I had enough of camping. I'm good now.
Not doing it.
Oh, I can't imagine why.
I think, there's a definite... You know, I did a 5-day trip with my daughter when I met Carrie. So the conference that I met Carrie at, we went to the Olympic Peninsula, right? And it was a road trip, and it was lovely because it was just her and I, and we rented a car, and we stopped where we wanted to, and we saw these beautiful vistas. But what was really hard was we had every form of precipitation that you can have. So we had sleet, we had snow, we had rain, we had drizzle, we had fog in a space of about 8 hours. And so that was one of the things that it's kind of scary, that when you're driving and you don't have that, you don't know what the weather's going to be like. That can actually be a little bit scarier, but you can't take a train.
You're right. You could not have made that trip on a train.
Yeah. But I think every Canadian would, you know, it's a bucket list to do the Mountaineer. So the Rocky Mountaineer, which is you take it in Calgary. And then you end up in Vancouver, but you go through the Rockies. And it's a train trip, absolutely of a lifetime. But where the problem is for me is that it's really expensive. Like, really expensive. It's like $4,000.
Wow.
Like, it's not, you know, $1,000 or a couple of... It is... Really, I don't know why.
Is that the one that has the big picture windows? Like you sit in
the
recliners that kind of turn, and you could just face out the big picture window. Is that the one? Oh, bucket list for sure.
Absolutely. And I think you do stop. Now, you were just in Banff, were you not?
I was. Yes. I'm wearing, you can't see it, but I'm wearing my Jasper shirt.
There you go. So, yeah. I'm pretty sure it does stop in, like, I'm pretty sure it stops in Banff. But starting in Calgary, you got to stop somewhere in kind of in the middle. Well, it's not really in the middle because Banff is closer to Calgary than it is to Vancouver, but it kind of stops and, you know, you can like overnight there and walk around and all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. So,
but see, to me, that
sounds
not
like
a,
you could do in a, like, you can't really do that in a car.
True. And that could, sounds like a luxury trip, though. That does not sound like a getting from point A to point B, you know?
Right.
So if you're
going
to do that, the train is part of the adventure. It is not the vehicle to get to the destination.
Yeah. I mean, who doesn't want to take the, like, the Orient Express,
right?
Who wouldn't love to do that?
What as is long that? As you London don't get murdered on it.
Or is that exactly, or Paris too? What is that? I can't remember what, but that still exists.
Mm-hmm, it does. Like, I don't remember where it starts and stops. Yeah. But yeah, that would be a really cool one too. Those are a little different though, because that is, like you said, that is part of the vacation. That's not just your mode of travel to get to where you're going. That is the vacation is taking that.
So Carrie, let's talk
a
little bit about, go ahead. Finish your thought.
Well, I may be going where you were.
Okay.
There's some other times, too, when trains are, they beat out, you know, planes just don't come into play here, and they beat out cars. And that's cities that, well, obviously, like a subway is going to beat out a car, you know, traffic any day. But things like in Seattle, they don't have a good train system, but they have what's called the light rail. And it just kind of goes, you know, just one way back and forth. And downtown Seattle can get so congested down there when there's something going on at the, you know, the sports stadium and then a concert going next door. Yeah. And, you know, it's like crazy traffic. So you can catch the light rail in like say North Seattle, park there at the parking ride, hop on it for a few bucks, it takes you into town. When you're done, you hop back on it, takes you back to your car, and you've missed all that congestion of the traffic. Sure, it'd be nice to have your own car. My daughter and her friend took it to the Taylor Swift concert, and they did have to wait probably like an hour and a half in line to get back on the light rail when it was over. And some guy spilled his beer on the, you know, like it was an adventure in itself. However, just like the parking, the cost of parking down at the convention center was insane. The traffic was unbelievable. They saved themselves time and money and hassle just to get on that light rail and skip all the traffic and go north of town and then go on home, you know? So there's not just the train ride like you think of the Amtrak that's going to take you from here to the next state and it's going to stop at every little town in between, you know, like that's a pain. But there's other good uses of trains that we got to consider too.
Yeah, I think we as a country, as America, are good at the short distance train situation, whether that is a light rail or a subway or something like that. It's the giving people an option for cross-country travel that we are not good at. Because it seems like if you don't want to drive or sit in a train for 10 hours, you got to take a plane. And those prices have not come down at all the last few years. So it's kind of, you know, that's probably one of the negatives about it. But Carrie, I wanted to give you, I'm glad you brought that up because I wanted to give you a chance. Now that we've kind of talked about positives for everybody's mode of transportation, I would love to hear what are some negatives for you about car and plane? You alluded to them just a little bit, but maybe expound upon those.
Negatives for plane. Those are those are obvious, but before you even get on the plane, you know, you've got to go through the hassle of the airport, you know, all of that that goes into that. That can just be quite a headache in itself. And then just going back to my overnight trip that I took in from Moscow to Kazan, we flew Aeroflot from Seattle to Moscow, which you talk about sardine-esque. It is. But then Moscow's in-country airlines, oh, good Lord, you've not seen anything yet until you are like, I mean, it is shoulder to shoulder tight. And getting to skip that plane, even though it's only like, I don't remember, it's like maybe a 3-hour flight from Moscow to Kazan. I would gladly take an overnight train to get to skip that plane ride because it was horrible. I had made it multiple times. I didn't want to make it again. So, there's that. There's a lot to be said about just staying on the ground. And for anyone that might have a fear of flying, a train is a good option, even if it takes a lot longer. And there are a lot of people that still, you know, like it's legit. It's a legit fear.
Yeah.
So having that plane or the train or the automobile option is a big deal. And then, you know, a plus over a car, you're not having to drive. You don't have to navigate yourself. You know, you just get on and even if it takes hours, you can do the same thing that you would do on a plane, you know, check out, get off of everything and just read or watch your movies or those kind of things. There's still a lot to be said, even if it takes a long time. And I'm not well suited for, I'm not going to say that I like.
Thank you, Carrie. Just keep giving me those extra points. That's why I like
you're welcome.
Just keep giving me those points.
You're
Carrie.
Welcome.
I'm good with that.
I don't like the long plane or train rides where you stop a million times and it takes 10 hours to go where you could have driven in 3 or something. You know, that's none of us are here for that. But there is a lot to be said too for people who maybe their car is not reliable. Maybe they don't see well to drive at night and a long journey is going to get them there at night. Maybe they're elderly and they just don't drive as much anymore. And you can put your mom on a train and know that she'll arrive safely at your sister's or, you know, something like that. There's lots of...
And she'll get to walk around.
Yeah.
Right? So big... You walk in a plane... But I found that that's...
You can, but people think you're suspect when you do it.
And
you're just kind of walking. You're walking around a little bit. You have a little bit more mobility. I find that is, you know, the last long train ride I took was from London to Montreal. And that took all day. It was almost 10 hours from start to finish.
And I put my back out. Well, like for the next 3 or 4 months, I don't know. It was the city, whatever it was. There was something that just completely, that's never happened to me before, right? But now I'm super weary about sitting on a train for that long of time. You know, you just have to walk around, right? And that's the, for me, I've learned that I've had to walk around. So that's why one of the plane options sometimes is really hard. Because they don't like you on the ground. They're really discouraging you from doing that. And then you got to go over somebody and the, you know, it's the meal and you have to pay for a meal and you have to, right? Like you've got your car, you've got your cooler, right? You don't have to worry about your baggage. You can bring as much baggage as
you can bring full-size travel toiletries. Car,
right? that's why I think it's really great. But like one of the negatives is, of course, paying for parking in Chicago, paying for parking in New York City, paying for parking in Toronto. Like Toronto is crazy. If you get overnight parking for $50, that's a steal.
Oh, wow.
Some of the parking lots now in the hotels can go up as high as $75. Think about that.
And that's not valet. That's self park.
That's crazy. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So I think, one of those things. But.
Okay, well, you're not supposed to be doing negatives for your mode of transportation, Margarita.
I know.
Give us some more negatives for planes and trains.
Sarah, I can't.
I'll give you another negative for a train that I just thought of. That overhead, when you're like, I'm going to be carry-on only. I'm not going to check any baggage in. But it could be so stressful. Like, is there going to be room for my bag? Is it going to actually fit up in that overhead? Is it too heavy for me to lift? Man. You know, all of that. It's like, it can be like stressful to think about, is my bag going to get up there or not? You know, and if you are one of the later ones, the later groups to load, you might not. And they might end up saying, sorry, out of room, we're going to gate check it. And then
do trains have the same rules as planes? Like you can only have so many pieces of luggage with you and they have to be a certain size?
You know, I don't think they have the size limitation. They might. I don't know. I'm going to say I don't know on that because the trips that I took,
I don't remember. The thing is, on the train, I don't know what you guys are like, but the trains here, some of the VIA trains, is you can bring a big piece of luggage, but you have to kind of leave it on that part of
kind of tucked up. Yeah.
So you don't actually see it, right? And so you could be at the complete opposite end of the train. And I always think to myself, oh, please don't walk off with my luggage. Like, you do all the stops and you don't actually know whether someone's going to walk off with your luggage or not. I mean, we're Canadians. We're not going to do that. But, it could happen. I'm just sort of saying.
Yeah. Okay. Good to know. Right. Kyle, you haven't had a chance to defend the planes. So let's talk about how bad trains and cars are.
Sure. I mean, I will say, you know, I've done the road trip thing and I did, you know, besides sleeping on rocks for a lot of it, I did have a great time. That was a great experience. But it's the time thing really plays there for me where the journey is the destination for a road trip, I would say. For trains, I've also, you know, had a great train experience. When I was living in Boston, I took an 8-hour train to go visit a friend in Maryland. Got a lot of reading and movie watching done there. As you said, you can definitely do that on a train too. But again, that's, you know, it's 8 hours versus I think it's a 2-hour flight or less. So for me, it really is the time thing that I think makes planes preferable for a point A to point B, like we're talking about. And then the other major thing is, Carrie keeps on talking about this amazing trip that she took on a train within Russia. But how did you get to Russia? You had to fly. You couldn't take a train from the U.S. to Russia.
Yeah.
Nope. We're talking about the amazing trains in Japan and in China. And the only way you're getting there is by flying.
Right.
So I absolutely, you know, agree. I think it's when I have the time and when it's an option, I would, you know, I would love to take a train. But sometimes that's not an option. If I want to go somewhere in Europe, if I want to go somewhere in Asia or the Middle East, then I have to fly. And I think it's really, you know, one of the wonders of the modern age that we can get from one continent to another without it taking, you know, 2 weeks or however long the transatlantic boat ride would be. I do wonder if we had a fourth person here arguing for boats, what they might say. But right. I'm sure it can be wonderful. That. But being able to get, you know, even if it is a 16-hour flight, I've flown from LA to Tokyo, and that's 16 hours. That's still something that's, you know, not really possible with anything else at this point. Mm-hmm. And that, I think, is pretty amazing, because I took, you know, I think it was just a week-long trip. And yes, that's 16 hours, but I wouldn't have even been able to get there within a week, any other form of transportation.
Right. So. Yeah. I just returned from Germany last week and on a press trip, and they don't put you in, you know, business class or anything. You're in coach. So I was grumbling, like, oh, my word. I think it was a 12-hour flight back or something from... We flew back from Zurich to Seattle, and I was like, oh, this is awful. I watched like four movies. I'm not even a movie watching person, you know, but I watched four movies, and I read, and I listened to a podcast, and, you know, did all the things, and there's still hours left. And I'm like, this is incredible. I left my hotel room in Zurich this morning, and I'm in Seattle in my bed tonight. This is phenomenal. You know, like, there's just nothing that beats that. So.
Yeah.
Point for you.
Thank you. Yeah. And I know, you know, this is the, I'm taking shots at my opponents at the moment, but I did also just sort of think in relation to what Margarita's been saying about you get to direct your own trip when you're in a car. My mom is German, born in Germany. And so when I was a kid, we used to go back for Christmas pretty much every year. But what she would do, in part because of the, you know, problem, not so much problem, that there are no direct flights LA to Cologne, where my grandmother and uncle live, we would take the direct flight to Dublin and stay in Dublin for 3 or 4 days before taking a flight from there over. Or we would go stay in, you know, Paris or any number of cities. You know, we went to Amsterdam, we went to all of these different places. And so you do still have those options with planes to, you know, direct your own flight and direct your own adventure. If, again, that's when I was a child, I had, you know, 2 or 3 week vacations where we could spend 4 days in another country, go to Germany for 2 weeks, and then spend another 4 days in another country before coming home. But I do think that flying does allow you also to, you know, direct your own adventure, as I think Margarita has been saying.
Yeah, I think for flying too, especially in Europe, like, they have some of the really, you know, Ryanair, sure, there's absolutely huge restrictions. You're basically getting on a plane with your knapsack and that's it, right? And you got to put your purse and your knapsack and, you know, your 2 shirts and 3 pairs of socks and 4 pairs of underwear and 1 pair of pants and you're done. Like, you can't do anything else. You know, I mean, it was, I, on the way back from Greece, I was thinking of doing a flight between Greece and Malta, because the flight from Air Canada flew from Malta all the way back to, you know, Toronto and London. But that small little puddle jump, which isn't a puddle jump because they actually use a plane, was ridiculously cheap. Like, it was $100 or something. And it was still cheaper for me to fly out of Malta than it was to fly out of Athens and go back. So that's, I mean, you know, I love that, because, like, exactly, Kyle. I can't drive to Malta. However, you can't really see Malta unless you're in a car.
It's a combination. See? I mean, maybe that's the...
I'm back to the car. But I think that's the, you know, and now in the EU, right, that you can just drive through borders. It was much more different the first time I went to Europe, and like in 1981, 82, where you had to have your passport and there was passport control and you had to pay, you know, tariffs and all of this stuff. So now in the EU, it's very easy to drive from country to country. Bad part about it is that it is very expensive, very, very expensive to drop off a car. So if I picked up a car, I wanted to pick up a car in Lisbon and drop it off in Madrid, and the drop-off fee was going to cost me more than the actual rental for the week. So that's why it provides a better idea to do a road trip, so that you know, you end up circling back and coming back. You know, that makes it a lot easier. But I think it'll be very interesting in the future, how, especially with this starting in Spain, and I think they're going to do it in Greece also, that if you are within, you know, a certain amount of hours of driving, they're encouraging you not just not to drive up more, to take the train. Like they just don't want to have those little short flights. They're like, okay, so from London to Toronto, that's a 2 hour for me. That's a 2 hour drive. And that flight is like 35 minutes. And, you know, it's a small plane, but it, you know, it's great. But by the time I've gotten into the airport, gotten through security, you know, been 2 hour, like an hour and a half earlier, 2 hours earlier than my flight, it's actually faster for me to drive from London to Toronto. But I think that that's very indicative, and you can do that in other places in the States, right? It might be easier to do some of those short drives. But, you know, the idea of going to see Carrie from my house is going to take you 10 days to drive.
Right.
So that's the thing, is it's, I think it's one of those.
I think deciding about where you're going and what you're going to do when you're there or on the way there plays a huge role in what sort of transportation you're going to take. Because if you know, Kyle, you've mentioned the cross-country trip you did with your friends. The point probably was to see lots of the U.S., right? So you put up with the rocks, you put up with sleeping outside because it was an adventure. But if your goal was, you know, if you guys were going to see some sort of concert in L.A. because your favorite band was there, like the purpose of going to L.A. would be for that, not to take 3 or 4 days to get across the country. And so you would need to choose a faster mode of transportation, I would assume. But I think in America, our biggest problem is we care about efficiency. It's about the almighty dollar and capitalism.
You know, that's actually a point that I was just starting to make up is, and we haven't talked about this, is the carbon footprint that each of these modes of transportation creates. And, you know, I don't know if people actually make their decisions based on that or not, because like you just said, Sarah, it's the almighty dollar. But if you've booked a plane lately, you see that they now include their, you know, what kind of carbon footprint each plane leaves behind or produces, or however you say that. I don't have those numbers for my car. If I take a car trip, I don't have any idea what that carbon footprint is. And I haven't booked a train in a while, so I don't know if they do the same, if they show that. But it's an interesting, you know, it's something interesting to think about, that as you're booking your flight, you can actually look and see, oh, this plane is worse than that one, or, you know, whatever. You can actually make a decision on that if you want to.
Right.
Just something to think about.
Kyle, has that ever influenced?
Yeah. I actually went on a website where you can actually plug that in, and it'll tell you what the emissions are. And interestingly enough, one of the things they said, I thought cars would be by far the worst, but sometimes it's not, because in a car you might take, you know, one, two, or three people, four people, you know, and it's going to be cheaper to be in the car than the footprint and emissions of people flying or trains. Because in Canada, in the States, a lot of our trains are still diesel trains, right? So in Europe, it's different, because a lot of their trains, the bullet trains and a lot of these trains, are electric. They're on electric. They run. And so the emissions are much lower, because I just learned that. I literally was just doing the research on what we're, you know, going to talk about.
Can you excuse me a minute? I'm sorry. Pause for a minute.
You're good.
I'm sorry.
No, okay. I'm glad you're feeling better enough to be with us today. You have all the time in the world to get over your illness. So if you got to pause to cough, you do it.
Do you need to go get some water or something?
I was going to say, you need to refill your cup.
It wasn't going
to
help.
Sorry.
That was just quite a tickle. Okay. Sorry, Margarita. You had a great thought going there. I just could not. I was trying. I couldn't hold it.
No. Okay. No, it's perfectly fine. I do think it's a really interesting part about the emissions part of it. I think it's things that we really have to take more control over and kind of understand. And I don't know if you noticed, but when I pay with points, like depending on which airport you go or which airport you're going out,
the final price, because you're paying all of those taxes, right? You don't pay for the ticket, but you pay for the prices. Like, mm-hmm. It's becoming a thing now, like what those emissions are and what those taxes are. And it's becoming, you know, I'm having like a rethink now about whether to fly in somewhere, or better yet, to take a bus, because the bus is going to carry, you know, 35 people as opposed to a car where I'm just going to be driving to Toronto by myself, right? They have HOA lanes, so high occupancy. So if you have more than two people, you can go into this special lane and you get to go, you know. So it's good, but it's encouraging, but we still don't, you know, we still love to
Americans
drive our cars.
Do too.
I mean, there's no...
Yeah,
there's no question about it.
You know,
it, right?
I took a flight back from Santa Fe just earlier this month, and it's the first time I've ever heard a pilot. You know how sometimes they get on and they'll give you some interesting facts about the city or the weather or whatever. Before we took off, he gave us an entire math lesson on how much gas that plane was going to take, right down to how each seat was going to cost a gallon of gas every half mile. And even if there was an empty seat next to us, that seat was still going to be the same. It's a half mile per gallon per person.
Wow.
Is what he said. And I was like, oh my goodness, I felt guilty being on the plane, you know? So there's a point for that.
Kyle, I was going to ask you when we brought this up, are you at the point in your life now where you ever, or you think about, I don't want to say ever, but do you think about
emissions and things? I'm just going to I'm going to go one more pitch on you guys. I'm going to go and tell you about my road trip on Route 66. What a fun thing to do, right? It was super, you know, like kitschy, and they had, you know, the Gemini Giant, which is like a giant green muffler man. Who was carrying a spaceship, and there was like diners, and there was like
Americana.
All of these things I would never have seen, right? Have never seen if I hadn't gone on the first, you know, 100 miles of Route 66. And I think, I'm starting to kind of fall in love with that whole idea. And MixCon, just to circle around to what we're going to be doing in October, is... it's really hard to get there. They kind of chose a place that's a little difficult to get to. You can't really fly into. And for me, the best option is to drive. And, you know, I'm picking up.
I'm going to fly in a plane to Buffalo, where I'm going to get in her car and she's going to drive me. I'm not even taking a train.
I love it.
Yeah. Okay. So clearly the car is king, people. Still gonna go on this. I'm sorry. No, but you know what? Like, that's the problem, is that sometimes you don't have like airports that are close by, or you don't have train stations that are close by. Eau Claire was the same. Like, Eau Claire, Wisconsin. It's like really there's no way of getting there unless you fly to St. Paul, Minneapolis, St. Paul's, or if you go into Chicago or Green Bay or like so. Sometimes you just gotta drive.
And even if, you know, like that just reminded me of...
Mic drop. Oh,
that made me think of something that, like here in Washington, we have the Skagit Valley Tulip Festival every April. And it brings in about a million visitors to our little county, which is huge. And you could fly to Seattle. You could take the Amtrak or to Vancouver. We're literally halfway between Seattle and Vancouver. You could take the Amtrak to our little town, but then you have to rent a car to go, you know, like, what are you going to do from there? You got to have a car. That's just how America, we still are. You know, we don't have a infrastructure where trains can just go willy-nilly every which way. You got to have the car. So, and you know what? A good old American road trip is just like, everybody got, you got to do it.
It's nostalgic.
You're welcome.
Thank you. And if you guys have never done that, it's a bucket list thing to do in America. I've done it in driven down from Vancouver and saw all those tulips, and it rivals
in Holland, it does.
Seeing them in Europe.
I'm taking notes, Holland,
which I've also seen.
They're beautiful, off,
right?
Beautiful.
So, yeah, I was just going to say, Sarah, I'm not going to lie, it's something you really have to do. Like, it's a really, really fun, beautiful thing to do.
If y'all come this way, I'll pick you up in my car.
Yeah. Okay.
You don't have to have.
I'm going to go back.
Free car rides from Carrie.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So. I'm in Chicago.
And Kyle, I'm sorry, where are you? Where are you located? My favorite. I love that.
Yeah,
I love Chicago. I spent
four birthdays
in a row in Chicago. 4 years in a row.
Oh, wow. Okay. So you really love
it. Row in Chicago. Like,
How did you get there? Plane, train, or automobile?
So I really
I flew, yeah.
And you know her what? For her four birthdays.
I'm either driven.
Okay.
For me, I've either driven or taken the train. Yeah.
Yeah, no, that's amazing.
$37, like one way. Come on. How do you, and it, so it leaves Port Huron very early, like 6 a.m. And then it leaves Chicago at 4 p.m. So you can actually have a really good two-night stay in Chicago and have full days because it's at central time. So you can arrive at like 1 p.m. So you have, it's like the perfect trip. But you get into Port Huron at about midnight. So I still live about an hour and 20 minutes from Port Huron. It's a great time to cross the border because all of those border guards are like, are you just on the train? I'm like, just get on the train. They're like, make your way. They already know that you've been on that train for like 9 hours. So, you know, for sure. Yeah. So that's why it's one of the, and I just drove when I was in Eau Claire for TDAX, I drove back from Chicago and I just, with a friend of mine from here, from Ontario. So yeah, we just drove. Yeah, it's an easy
Margarita. You would sit right in with the Midwestern Americans who don't think anything of a 10-hour plus road trip.
Yes, yeah. I from MixCon, I'm going. I've decided I'm going to go on. I'm going to go to Philadelphia with my husband. Yeah, he's flying down to Philadelphia, and then afterwards, I think we're going to even go to Washington D.C. because I still haven't heard from a DMO. And I just sort of said, you know what? I said, Paul, I'm sick of waiting. Let's just go.
Cool.
Yeah. So, yeah. Full on road trip. And I think it's great because of that Route 66. Mm-hmm. Like, why not? There's great roads. They're safe for the most part. And you can just, once you get to the city, you can just park the car and then use public transport. But check back with me on the drive back.
See how you're feeling.
It's been like 10 or 11 hours. And I'm like, oh my God, Kyle.
Get me on a plane quick. You know, D.C. I'm going to plug D.C. because it is another city that the subway system is fantastic. And it's one of the cities like San Francisco or New York that you can fly to and spend your whole vacation never getting in a car. You don't need a car. They've got their train system is... It might be sexy sometimes, but it's
They're on the metro, just like Montreal, right? Their metros weren't theirs are.
I didn't hear the beginning of what
you said.
They're
not rails. Yeah, well, in the Montreal metro, it's not like a rail. It's not like a train rail, like a subway in New York, and you have that grinding. Their metros
where?
On actual tires. Yeah, and I'm pretty sure Washington is the same. The same metro system like that. That is.
Hey, well,
not,
we're all going to go Google when this episode is over.
At least part of them is
because
they were from Bombardier.
Well, I was just there last year with my boys. So. We spent spring break there. Yeah, yeah.
Like it's just still a different. Subway,
oh yeah, I didn't pay attention to the wheels. I'm sorry.
But
I was just hoping to get on the right direction. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Well, we have come to the end of our podcast episode. But before we wrap it up and I choose a winner, I would love to give everybody a chance to say anything else that maybe they haven't said in support of their favored mode of transportation. And Carrie, I'm going to let you go first.
I think that I have said the major points. I don't want to just rehash, but I think a lot of people are also afraid to try a train. And it's something that you don't need to be afraid of. So if you haven't tried a train, even if that's the light rail or a subway, count those all as trains. You know, we don't really have a bullet train here in America. So don't be afraid of it. Don't be afraid to try the train because it really can be the best option sometimes.
All right, Kyle.
I mean, I, you know, Carrie said she doesn't want to just rehash, but I that's all I can do at this point. It's just, I think the great thing about planes is how quickly you're able to get to a new place, and the fact that they make international travel possible within, you know, for, I think, I used to live in Boston, and from Boston, for, or rather anywhere on the East Coast to Europe, I think is only about 5 hours, and sometimes less than that. And that's I think, really incredible, and makes planes the best way to travel, because you can go so far so quickly.
All right, Margarita, one last shot for cars.
Yeah, it's all about the journey, right? It's what you can do between point A and point B. And the thing is, well, it's actually more like point A to Z or Z, right? You can stop off in any number of places, and having a car really gives you that ability to do that. So I think for me, it's being able to have that flexibility, you know, and I think that's what a car can provide. But you know what? You guys know how much I love to get on a plane. So, because I like to go far. But yeah, it's about the road trip. That's it. It's about spending time with people and getting lost. And getting lost. That's the best part about being in a car.
You guys have all really brought good arguments. And, you know, pros and cons, I guess, both for each of the modes of transportation. And to be fair, because I love traveling, and I know Carrie and Margarita do too. And Kyle, I'm assuming you like to travel, even though your niche is entertainment.
Yeah. When I can, I love to. Yeah.
Yes. So I think when I choose my winner, I want to say it with a caveat, because, you know, I feel like, okay, probably the last thing invented was planes, as far as of these three things. Is that right? That feels right. Trains, yes, and then cars came along, and then planes.
Right, so, about the same time, I think. Close enough.
And cars?
Planes and cars are closer together than you'd think. But planes did come after.
A long time. And so it saddens me, sorry, Carrie, not to choose trains.
It's okay.
But
it's okay.
Only because America is so bad at it.
Mm-hmm. I would
feel so differently about them if we could get them to be as efficient as they are in other countries, because I think they are a great, I mean, you discuss a lot of pros for inner city, inner county, inner state options, but not cross country. Like cross country is where we struggle as a nation when it comes to trains. So I will not be choosing trains today, but also, Kyle, I'm not choosing planes.
Okay.
Only because it has become such a big business, which
she cut out.
I cut out. Sorry. Let's try that again.
Just give it a pause and then start again.
So planes have become big business in this country. And I mean, I guess probably across the world as well. But I'm just, as an American, speaking as an American, it has become less about enjoying the journey. I still feel like even though trains may not be as efficient as other modes of transportation, there's still probably some enjoyable parts of being on a train journey. I mean, Carrie said, even if you're not in one of those ones that can look out a giant window, there's usually good scenery. And I just feel like planes have, you know, lost their luster. It really has become just a cattle call, if you will, of pack as many people into this, you know, metal tube as you can and shoot them across the country.
Yes.
But also not making it cheap.
No.
So like, I feel like I could put up with the less luxurious nature of today's airlines if it was less expensive. But it's not, you know, I look at old photos of or old renderings of the way planes used to be, where people were smoking and they had a table in between four seats and the carpet was plush. What happened to all that?
Money,
basically. So, Margarita, you are today's winner. Because I agree that most places, now you did talk about how you cannot drive to Malta. There are some island nations that you cannot drive to Hawaii. But for the most part, I think the journey is part of the experience. And being in, as someone who has kids now and wants to be able to not have to, I don't know, you know, on a plane, like if you've got a crying child or a child that's antsy or whatever, you feel like everyone is staring at you or if they're loud or whatever it is. But with a car, like, you know, it's just you and your family. So there's a lot less judgment.
True.
And I really like the idea of bringing full-size toiletries with me in my car. I'm just saying, I really hate having to remember to squeeze stuff into those little bottles.
That was hilarious. That was so funny. It never occurred to me. I was thinking, I thought you were going to say, you know, snacks.
That's you. I don't have to pay for snacks.
Washroom breaks when you want it. No, it's the full.
I'm just saying, it makes packing so much easier.
That makes me laugh. Yeah. Well, I, you know what? I think that's where you are in your life with your kids and you're traveling and, you know, where you're situated, there's so many different places you can go, you know, north, east, west, south, like you're a great part of the United States that a road trip, a car trip is just so, you know, so awesome.
And that's something we did growing up. So I'm used to it.
You get to a lot of different places from where you are, right? Yeah, so I think that's really it. But like I said, we can have a whole other conversation. We'll see the next time we chat to see how my whole road trip went, whether I really want to be in a car again.
You'll love it.
I'll be singing a whole different tune, you guys. I have a feeling we'll be singing a different tune. But anyways, yeah, like usual, always fun. I hope people get, I've always said this, the fun thing about this is, and our goal has always been just to get people to travel. It could take the time to get on a plane, a train, or an automobile, and just really enjoy the journey and
get out and explore
and travel, because it's great. Great.
So absolutely. I'm so glad to have you guys. Margarita, will you remind everybody where they can find you online if they want to respond to your comments from today?
You know what? The blog is downshiftingpro.com, and it's very simple. You can find me. Everything else is Downshifting Pro. So whether it's on TikTok or an Insta story, on Twitter, Facebook, it's all the same. Downshifting Pro. It's all one word. And yeah.
All right, Kyle, where can they find you online?
I am mostly just on Twitter and Blue Sky at yet another Kyle L. earth.com. Yet another Kyle L. the dot is for Blue Sky. It gets a little weird there. Yeah. They're all extended. But yeah, yet another Kyle L is where you can find me. I will say I'm not doing too much travel talk. Sometimes I'll talk about somewhere I'm going, but that doesn't happen all too often. It's mostly just movie stuff. But I would love to talk about travel with people if they want to reach out.
Yeah. But Kyle is one of our movie experts. And he has a lot of great info about horror genre, so hit him up on those. And Carrie, where can everybody find you online?
My website is Our Woven Journey, like it sounds, ourwovenjourney.com, and you can find me on you can find my socials through that. So if you would just look me up on Our Woven Journey, you can find me from there.
Fantastic. Thank you all so much for being here today. Thank you to everybody who is watching and listening to this podcast episode. Until next time, bye everyone.
Bye. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Bye.
That's a wrap. If you enjoyed today's episode, be sure to subscribe to the Wealth of Geeks podcast and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts.
We have a ton of incredible content coming your way that you're not going to want to miss.
Until then, stay geeky.